This week my father would have turned 82 years old. I was reflecting upon him and the fact that although he's been gone for 16 years, he still impacts my life. And it used to be that it was a mixed bag with my dad, that I saw the negative impact and as well as the positive impact on. And I have kind of intentionally over the years minimized the negative impact of my father. Haven't got everything out of me yet, but when you spend a lot of time with someone, they influence you. And that's true about everybody, that we all live under the influence of people who have been significant in our lives. We live under the influence of our parents, or sometimes under the influence of an older brother who was way too good at way too many things to ever be able to be comfortable in his shadow. And sometimes we live under the influence of a teacher who has had a significant impact upon our lives. We all live under the influence. And a lot of times we live under the influence by choice. When I was in high school, I had my come to Jesus moment where Christ got a hold of me, and I had to make a decision whether I was going to embrace where Christ led me or whether I was going to continue in the path that I was pretty well ingrained in. And I was challenged to read the Bible, and actually a very small segment of the Bible. And there was a book that contained just the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, set in 31 daily readings. And someone challenged me to read this every day. And so for about 9 months in my life, I read 5 Psalms and 1 chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day. And I did this for about 9 months. I read through the Psalms and Proverbs about 9 times. And what I found is that by reading that and allowing the Word of Christ to dwell in me, I became a changed person. I chose the influence of Scripture in my life. That is what I want you to do today. So if you're already good with that, you can get up and leave. Although if you're sitting toward the front, that might be a little embarrassing to me. I appreciate you sticking with me for the next 15 minutes. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says this. This is Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is the Word of God. Father, as we look to Your Word now, we ask that You would cause it to come alive to each of us as individuals, that we would respond to Your Word, and that it would become a part of our life in order that we might be pleasing to our Father. Amen. So Paul says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. We talked a little bit about the Word of God last week from 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired of God. We talked about the inspiration of Scripture and the intent of Scripture, that it would correct us and reprove us and teach us, and the impact of Scripture that would make us ready for every good work. Here Paul is saying, now take that Word of Christ and allow it to dwell in you. To dwell in you richly. He's really saying, don't just be passive about it. With my father, most of the ways he impacted me were fairly passive, and it was because you're with him all the time and you just happen to, he catches your imagination and you find yourself repeating some of the things that he says. My dad used to say, it boggles the cortex. That was just something, and for years I said that, and I realized, nobody says that. That's just weird. I'm not letting my dad say it boggles my cortex that you could think that way, because that's just weird. And I became intentional about how it impacted me instead of unintentional. And Paul, in Colossians 3:16, is actually inviting us to be intentional about having the Word of Christ dwell in us in such a way that it has an impact upon us. He's saying, be intentional because it will lead you and guide you to live your life in a way that it influences things around you. And the first thing it's going to influence, the Word of God is going to influence the way that you teach and admonish. He says, so Paul says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish with all wisdom. Now, some of you are saying right now, but I'm not a teacher. Maybe not. But you all have an impact. You have impacts in ways that you don't even understand. I got a phone call from someone this week asking if I would perform a funeral service on Tuesday. And it was a young lady who passed away this week, 25 years old, and about 10 years ago she attended our church. And he called me, even though she's been attending another church, her father called me because he doesn't attend church. But about 10 years ago he came into our church. And he told me that he came into the church and he was talking to someone and said, you know, I always told my daughter that the walls of the church would fall down if I ever came to church. And he told me enough when he said, and the person said, well, they didn't. God must want you here. He said, and I've remembered that for 10 years. And I want you, as the pastor of that church, to perform my daughter's funeral service. Now, you didn't know that was going to have that impact. See, all of us are teachers. All of us teach by the little conversations that we have with one another. Sometimes they're very intentional, and some of you are really, really good about being intentional, and you reach out to the young people in our congregation, and you intentionally invest in their lives. And sometimes that investment seems like it's rejected, but it's seldom forgotten. It may be rejected in terms of people, you know, kids move on, and there's a lot of kids who graduate from high school. There are a lot of kids in the middle of high school decide they're not going to go to church anymore. But you know what they say 10 years down the road and 15 years down the road? There was a youth pastor who impacted my life. I remember how this person prayed with me. All of us are teachers. The question is, will we allow the Word of God to impact our teaching or won't we? In order for us to teach with wisdom, we have to know the wisdom of the Word of God. If you read through the Proverbs, as I did when I was in high school, what you begin to see there is that there are all these little tidbits that can make their way into our lives. And how the Proverbs talks about God's wisdom available through His Word. And how we can become wise through becoming filled with the Word of God. And it impacts our teaching. And it impacts our counseling. Now, you might say, well, I'm not a counselor. We leave that for the professionals. You know, that's okay to a certain extent, but most of the people I know come see the professional as a last resort. And they've already seen a whole series of counselors. You. They've talked to one another. They say, my marriage is falling apart. And right there at that moment, we have the opportunity as believers in Jesus Christ to direct them in words of wisdom or to direct them away from God. We have the opportunity to counsel with all wisdom and say, you know, I understand it's difficult. I've had difficult times too. But it's always worth it to stick it out because the Scripture says it's worth it. And some people have difficulty raising children. Okay, who doesn't? Guess what? The best counseling is not for someone to make an appointment in the midst of crisis. Now, let's come in and see Pastor Steve. Now, you can come in and see me, and I'll counsel you, and I am the professional counselor. I'm paid to do it. And I'll give you the stuff from the Word. But you know what? It's so much better if you sit down with somebody who's gone through the same thing, and they say, you know, I've had the trouble too. And you know what? Even though you feel like killing your kid now, they'll eventually get you grandkids. And it's worth it to keep them alive just so you can get the grandkids. Okay, what we do is we learn from one another. And Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you so that you can teach and admonish. So you can teach and counsel with wisdom. Because when you let the word dwell in you, then you become, it becomes a part of you. And when you share with somebody who's in a time of crisis, you share the principles of God's word. That's why it is so important to take this inspired word of God, which is intent, with the intent to teach us and to teach us doctrine and reprove us when we're wrong and to prepare us for every good work. We let that word dwell in us richly in order that we might teach and admonish one another. That's what the Bible asks us to do. But it goes on and says, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish and as you sing with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So the word of God ought to influence our worship. Isn't it a great joy to see the kids up here this morning? Yeah, every once in a while you think, man, some of those people on the worship team are getting old. I mean, are we going to have another generation of kids, of people to worship, to lead us? Yeah, we are. You know what's really cool? I study the faces of the kids as they're worshiping. And I see them falling in love with Jesus again. Because they're reading the words, they're memorizing the words. And these worship songs are become a part of them. And those worship songs ultimately both teach them and draw them closer to God. That's why so many parents teach their kids, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's why we sing Celebrate Jesus, Celebrate. I was trying to remember, Ben, I apologize, but did you bring home the kids when they taught us how to do that clap with Celebrate Jesus? That was before you. But that's something that some youth leader brought home from a conference that is still a part of our church. We didn't do it today. These kids are too young. They need to learn the clapping in that song. You know, for those of you that are visitors, we Celebrate Jesus. We go, dun, 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 like that. And a bunch of kids doing that, it's a great thing because it teaches us to celebrate Jesus and to be happy. It's one of the reasons that kids can run in this church. Because we're going to celebrate Jesus. We don't come to a funeral every week because the guy who died rose again. And it's worth celebrating. And Paul says, as you let the word of God dwell in you richly, as you worship, as you sing in psalms, and hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, Paul's really just saying use a variety of songs. He's saying don't get so stuck on one type of worship that that's the only type which is acceptable to you. He's saying have a well-rounded worship experience. You know, every once in a while I have to drive someplace, and there are certain places where you can't get on very many radio stations, and so I'm doing hit the dial, you know. The search thing, and you get into the, you know, 88, 89, 90, that area, and there's a whole bunch of these Christian radio stations. And there's the All Hymns All the Time service, station. I'm driving along, I hit that All Hymns All the Time station, and I listen to like one hymn. Then I press the, you know, let's get to something a little, that's not gonna put me asleep on the road. With apologies, I love hymns, but, you know, they are good for when I'm having difficulty sleeping. And then I'll hit it and I'll go to K-Love. And then, man, I'll be jazzed up and I was like, man, I've had enough of this, I'm speeding. So I press it again and I get to KJOL. You know, because it's a variety, and a variety is a great thing. And Paul is saying, don't get so stuck in one area, one way of worship that you've missed the rich plethora of songs that are available to us as we worship God. And let the Word of God control and influence your worship. Pay attention to what you're singing. Pay attention to the words that are being sung. And ask, is this true to God's word? Because ultimately, those are the things which we're going to lean back on when we're having difficult times in life. Sometimes we're going to sing in the shower, celebrate Jesus, celebrate. And sometimes we're going to sing A Mighty Fortress, this is my God. Because we have different things that we need at different times. Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish and as you worship. But he goes on in verse 17 of that text. He then goes on and says, this is an incredibly powerful verse of scripture for anybody who seeks to be faithful to Jesus Christ. He says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ. You see, the word of God is supposed to influence our life. It's supposed to influence what we do every day. In whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Christ, giving glory to Him. So it makes me think of things that we sometimes slip into. Can you imagine a time when Jesus would drop the F-bomb in a conversation? You know, he's really, really angry. Because, you know, maybe people have been doing some money changing in the temple. They've been selling for a profit in the temple, and they've been using the temple there for their own profit. Can you imagine him turning over those tables and dropping the F-bomb? Anybody? Why should you ever drop the F-bomb? Ever. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. You imagine? I know he was perfect, but I'm guessing they sometimes hit the wrong nail. Can you imagine he's you know, nailing something, whack, he hits his thumbnail? Can you imagine him dropping the S word? Is there any scenario under which you can imagine him using coarse language? So why do you? I'm not looking at anybody in particular. I'm just saying. If you're doing everything to honor God, if you are doing everything in the name of God, if you are doing everything, whether it's in word or in deed, for Jesus Christ, why would you ever say things that you know Christ would not say? Why would you ever put down a woman? Or a man? See, the scripture says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And when you do, it changes your life. I told you when I was in high school, I read the Psalms and Proverbs for about 9 months. Nine times through the book of Proverbs, that'll change your life. Because there you're going to find out that you shouldn't associate with an angry person. Man, that was tough. I was an angry young man. And here I'm reading the Bible saying, don't associate with an angry woman, an angry man. And I was thinking, it's a woman, because I was thinking, you know, I'd like to date that person. And if she's being biblical, she can't date me. So guess what happened? I let the Word of God change me, the way I live my life. You see, God wants us to be impacted by His Word. And we have to choose it. See, you could choose not to read the Bible. Go with the crowd. There's a ton of people who never read the Bible. Or you can choose to be impacted by God's Word. The scripture says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it fill you. Let it. I want you to sweat the Bible. It's so much a part of you. It's like eating garlic. That everybody knows you've ate garlic because you sweat like garlic and you breathe out garlic. That's what the word of God ought to be for us. Dwelling in us so much that as we teach and admonish, as we counsel one another, as we just talk to one another, people recognize that we've been with Christ. And as we sing, we worship with all kinds of different songs, bringing glory to Christ. And in everything we do, whether the things we say or whether the things we do, whether our words or our deeds, in every aspect of our life, they see Jesus. It will only happen as we get into His Word. Paul says in 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired. It's God-breathed. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, in order that men and women of God might be fully equipped for every good work. And he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, so that you can teach and admonish with all wisdom. And as you sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God. And in whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would help us today to fall in love with your word again, in order that we might be transformed by the power of the word of God. Amen. I encourage you, say goodbye to Don and Bev. Sneeze on the baby. Don't sneeze on the baby. But at least, you know, pray for the baby and live a life that will help Rose and all the other kids in our church to love Jesus. Amen.